Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Fonterra Limited Q1 business update. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Miles Hurrell, CEO. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for taking the time to join us on this business update this morning, this afternoon rather. I'm joined by Mark Rivers, CFO, Simon Till, Director of Capital Markets, and Barry Murray, the GM of Investor Relations. As I'm sure you've all seen, we have put out media release and presentations on NZX and ASX this morning. So the intention is not to go through that in detail, but we'll certainly cover the key points and then open up for Q&A. Firstly, to open up with the farm gate milk price, you've seen the revision of our farm gate milk price guidance from 6-6.30 dollars per kg for the forecast for the season. The revision of decline 7 of the last 8 GDT wins, which you'll be aware of. The forecast range does assume that dairy prices will firm over the balance of the season. In terms of supply and demand, we saw strong supply come out of Europe over the spring despite hot weather. There was a lot of feed that was fed through their animals through that period. We also saw a very good spring in the New Zealand context, but we're mindful of newer forecasting suggesting a potential El Niño weather pattern over the summer period. The U.S. continues to have steady growth in supply, but largely absorbed by domestic consumption. Australia is the obvious exception where drought is impacting production. Solid demand continues to be reflected in import levels across most of the markets, in particular China and Asia. As you're aware, the farm gate milk price is a key driver of our earnings, and the current range is factored into our earnings guidance for the full year. In terms of the guidance range, overall, our gross margins for the first quarter are more or less in line with last year. Our ingredients and consumer businesses both had solid starts to the year, albeit off lower volumes for ingredients, where we had a slower start to the year and also off the back of a strong fourth quarter last year. Again, as you're aware, we had a seasonal milk profile where collections for the first quarter make up a smaller percentage of our overall sales. As a result, Q1 does not generally give a good insight into full-year earnings but does put the spotlight on areas where we need to continue to focus. We are seeing some challenges in Australian ingredients, Greater China food service, and Asia food service, and I'll take you through some of our insights there. Australian ingredients are on the back of lower collections due to drought but at the same time increased competition. We expect to see this situation continue, reducing our operating expenses to reflect the lower collections and volumes throughout the remainder of the year. Lower sales volumes and gross margins in food service in China and in Asia reflect, again, very strong sales in quarter four last year, at the same time higher prices at the start of the year. We saw a slower start in culinary cream at the start of the year, but we are seeing strong performance in our UHT milks in the food service space, which, while positive, is often relatively small volumes. We're expecting to see sales volumes lift in Q2 as we're seeing increased demand through our distributors. We're also pleased to say that while it's early days, we're seeing improved performance across our New Zealand consumer and food service businesses after a disappointing last financial year. Overall, taking these factors into account, we are confident on delivering our forecast earnings range. In terms of lifting our performance, we are working hard as a team to focus on the areas that need attention. While we understand that we can't discuss all the details of all the processes we are running through, we're pleased to update some tangible progress we are making. The first on our portfolio review. We had previously discussed BeeMate and have made great progress, firstly bringing back the Anmum distribution in-house in China, and we've agreed in principle with BeeMate for the Darwin plant to return to full ownership, Fonterra ownership, by 31 December 2018. Plus, we've entered into a multi-year agreement for BeeMate to purchase ingredients from us. This will leave us the equity holding in the listed BeeMate entity to address. In addition, today we've announced we've appointed an advisor to look at a range of options around our ownership of Tip Top. We're also progressing well on the third asset, but for commercial reasons, we're not at liberty to disclose that at the moment. Delivering earnings and our asset sales will help us significantly reduce debt in line with what we'd previously announced. Also looking at the strong financial discipline, in addition to our commitment to reduce debt, we're very focused on maintaining strong financial discipline on both OPEX and CAPEX. In terms of operating costs, this was up slightly in Q1 on last year, but mainly due to pre-planned commitments around AMP. In addition, bringing back Anmum brand and increased higher storage and distribution costs as a result of higher milk collections in New Zealand. In terms of capital, we are on track for a full-year target of $650 million spend, down from the $861 million in the prior year. As you know, capital expenditure is not constant throughout the year, and we've seen a higher capital spend in quarter one versus the prior year as we saw some of those larger projects come to completion. I finally just like to mention that we released our sustainability report last week. It was a core part of our strategy, and we look forward to running you through that next week. I'll now hand across to the team to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. And if you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Ari Decker from First NZ Capital. Please go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you. I guess just the first question in relation to Darnham. Obviously, taking over the full ownership again makes sense. Just in terms of, you know, the debt repayment this year, which is a priority, is the amount that you're going to need to pay being made for the 51% stake, you know, is that having a meaningful impact vis-a-vis the $800 million target, and sort of what sort of quantum is it that you'll be paying for the asset?
Hey, Ari, it's Mark Rivers. Thanks for the question. Short answer is no, that you will not have any kind of meaningful impact on achieving those debt reduction targets. Certainly what it does for us is it gives us full control back on Darnham, which means that it gives us an optionality when we look at the plant in terms of what products go through it, looking for optimal product mix, et cetera. Of course, it also opens up the possibility of us looking for other partners who might be interested as well. And it's a world-class manufacturing asset over there in Australia. So there's a very important, second step of the puzzle as we review the whole Beanmate relationship after taking Anmum back. So we're pleased with the progress. Of course, what we've got here is an agreement in principle, and we're just finalizing things now with Beanmate, but we're pleased with what we've got so far, and aim is to have that completed by the end of December.
And I guess it's a point of clarification, So is the purchase of the, you know, their stake in the joint venture separate to anything you're doing in relation to reviewing your ownership of the equity you own in Beanmate? And is the right interpretation of the update commentary around processes being underway for three assets, including Beanmate, that your ownership of that equity is one of the things that you're also looking at in addition to Anmum distribution and taking control of Darnham?
Yeah, so I suppose in one sense that the Darnham relationship itself is independent, right? We have optionality around that, but in another sense, it's part of the overall relationship and part of the overall review of the relationship with Beanmate. And it's really about, the way we're thinking about it is, going forward, what is the best possible way to maximize the value of all the different components of the relationship with Beanmate? And so in the case of Anmum, we felt like the best way to maximize value there is to take distribution back and we've seen really good results so far. The Q1 sales on Anmum are up 43% versus last year, and that's a function of, you know, confidence in our capability, which have grown in the meantime, being able to take advantage of the retail trends, and so we feel confident that we can make more value by bringing that back in-house. And then secondly, looking at Darnum as a specific asset, same question, what's the best way to maximize the value of that asset? And we felt like taking back full control gives us an optionality around what the product mix that we want to run through the plant, in addition to looking at other sort of options with other partners who may be interested in that. And then the last piece of the puzzle, of course, is what remains is essentially the financial stake itself that we have in Being Made. And so that, you know, it's sent us a separate question, and for that, really all options are on the table as we conduct the review.
Sure. And on the third asset, it is commercial reasons that you're not disclosing it. It's not that you haven't. You're still looking at a range of assets. You know, to pretend, there is an identified asset that you're progressing through for sort of realization as well. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's correct, Ari. we have identified an asset that we're interested in. But it's just for commercial reasons. We don't want to negotiate against ourselves here or get ahead of ourselves. So when the timing is right, then we'll come forward and share that with everyone.
Sure. And then one last question, just on the operating costs. I think you're just making sure I'm interpreting that correctly. So the $444 million of OPEX at an unallocated on the unallocated, is that where you're targeting to bring that back down to sort of the $390 million level, or are you talking across all of the businesses you're looking to bring OPEX back down to 17 levels?
Yeah, so the answer is it's really across the board.
Yeah.
Right. We want total OPEX to be at FY17 levels, and so again, that'll be the result of the review of the whole portfolio and looking at things piece by piece. But that's one specific target that we're aiming for.
Sure. So it'd be, I take it from that then also that it'll be sort of further down the track that you'll be able to give some visibility on where we'd sort of expect to see those costs come out, and then also just, you know, how much of it do you think might be realised in 19 versus 20?
Yes, exactly. We'll be able to give more guidance to that as that becomes clear. And of course, you know, at the right point, also as we do the whole strategic portfolio review and you know, the first three assets we talked about are kind of part of that, but it's part of the whole comprehensive review of the entire business that we want to look at. And again, at the right time, we'll come forward with our thinking along those lines. But that's well underway.
Right. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Ari.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back for closing remarks.
Okay. Thanks, everyone, for your attendance. On behalf of myself and the management team here, wish you a good day. Simon and Dara, of course, will be available to answer any further questions throughout the afternoon.